The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Mission America and may contain views and opinions that do not reflect the views of the advertisers, staff, and owners of this station. Some material may not be suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Yep, and to think, I used to be a liberal too.
These children are influenced to believe that they may be the wrong gender.
People are finally getting it because the mass media has not been reporting on this accurately. It's only through conservative-leaning and Christian outlets that are actually telling the truth about the body.
The books today that you're talking about, they're just much more militant, and they're targeting even younger children.
Because I know that lots of people have had it up to here. They have had it up to here with this agenda, with the targeting of their children.
Our past silence as the church in America has reaped these horrific consequences that we're living through now.
Yep, and to think, I used to be a liberal too.
This is Mission America with Linda Harvey.
Because with God,
all things are still
possible.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to Mission America Radio. I'm Linda Harvey, and I'm so very glad you've joined us this afternoon. Please visit our website at missionamerica.com. That's missionamerica.com for more information about our organization and to read news, articles, and Christian commentary on the culture. And don't forget to listen to our 4-minute daily commentaries right here Monday through Friday on the Word Columbus at 10:20 a.m. And also be sure to check out all our resources about the culture's influence on your kids, our faith, and our freedom. And you can learn more right on our website at missionamerica.com. Probably most of you have heard about the mayor of Hudson, Ohio, who was rightfully outraged over material being taught at the local high school. And also, you've probably, many of you, seen the viral videos of moms objecting to the obscene content of books their children were exposed to at school. Well, our guest today has a lot of expertise in this area. You will probably remember Debbie DeGroff, who's been on our show before in the recent past, who's been talking about the disturbing presentations of obscenity, vulgarity, and many other dark and disturbing themes that publishers of books for children and teens today seem to favor. So Debbie DeGroff has spent 30 years researching books for youth after taking an interest when her children were small. Her curiosity turned to concern when she examined the content, and also when she began to look at the actions of libraries and publishers. So she's now considered a leading authority on this subject. Her book is called Between the Covers, What's Inside a Children's Book, and she has a website at whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com. So welcome back to Mission America Radio, Debbie.
Thank you, Linda. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. You're so upbeat.
Well,
such a dark subject.
Well, yeah, it's a hard subject, and you are very upbeat too. The things that you delve into, I'm always amazed at that you can be so cheerful, and you have a great sense of humor also. There has been a new focus on school board meetings, and since the beginning of the year, it's been exploding, and I've spent 25 years trying to encourage people to go to school board meetings, so I'm feeling like, wow, the Lord is really moving and getting people concerned and involved, and some of it involves book content. So let's start with the recent situation involving a book called Lawn Boy. And so please describe, as you have researched it, what happened with Lawn Boy.
Well, the first that I heard of it was a Texas mom actually read from four different parts of the book where they dealt with that same issue, which I don't know how much we want to do on the radio, so I won't be reading the excerpts. But at the end, she had said, who would want to normalize, you know, books like this? A pedophile, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so another lady addressed this in Virginia, and, I mean, she did a wonderful job, but she didn't understand that it wasn't about pedophilia, okay, because the protagonist was reflecting back 12 years when he and the other guy that's also an adult now was a child. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the quote. And, you know, they tried to shut her mic down, and you know, bless her heart, you know, she stood her ground, so that was great. But you're right, people were speaking up, and it seems like it is more. But I can tell you that in the past, very few moms and dads or grandparents did speak up. There was only a handful of people. I can remember speaking on education issues, and they would wait till everybody that had came to watch the meeting had left, except for the press and the board office, and they would keep you right to the very, very end. The other thing was we did not have smartphones, and so it would die a quick death. Nobody knew. You could come in, and you could say exactly what was in a book, but it wasn't going to go anywhere. So now we have, you know, people with all the technology they have, and everything is going viral, and, you know, you have people in a tizzy when they're actually doing what I always wanted people to do, look between the covers.
Yes, absolutely. And so the issue was that these moms read excerpts at the school board meetings, and of course, the school board people are definitely taken by surprise, and these things are too X-rated to be even read in a school board meeting, and you couldn't even print out copies of much of the material in some of these books and hand it out on the sidewalk without being arrested for a distribution of obscenity to children, and yet it's right there in the school library. What is the motivation for publishers now? You've done a lot of research on the Library Association, the American Library Association, and the library industry and publishers. So tell us, let's start with the publishers. What is their motivation?
Well, I think it's the indoctrination. I call it grooming. I mean, the sex part of the books, which seems to be the only thing that's concerning, you know, to parents now, the sex or the profanity, but those are just the enticements for the children. See, once you entice them into the book, they develop, as I always say, that affinity with the protagonist. Then the indoctrination sets in, and your child's worldview is shifted. So I really think that they're just enticements. And also, I would like to bring out, you know, the school boards are acting, I'm sure you're going to bring it up, with, you know, them contacting the Department of Justice, you know, so we can bring in the FBI for these parents. The message that they're sending out is you don't have a right to be concerned as a parent. Those children are our concern, you know, and you sit down and shut up and let us take care of the kids or we'll take them away.
Exactly.
And,
well,
you know, this is the scary thing.
Yeah. The Democratic candidate for the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, just said that he doesn't think parents should be telling schools what to teach. I mean, is this a valid position? I mean, what is the history behind schools in this country? Well, we can't get into all that, but the history behind parental control of the schools.
Well, it was always assumed that the parents had control, but once it became the compulsory education years ago, without going into that, you know, actually we lost our rights years and years and decades ago, but parents have always been involved. It's always been accepted. You know, up until a few years ago, you were considered a concerned parent, and a concerned parent was a virtue.
Exactly. And that's, and what we've seen, Debbie, and I know you'll agree with this, is that schools, you know, you can understand to some extent why they are more involved in other many things like social emotional learning and so on, because some parents are abdicating their involvement. So all of a sudden now here we're taking it back. So there's a lot of surprise on the part of the schools, right?
Well, they don't know. You know, I always say the school boards is great, okay? I mean, it's great to have a school board, but basically you're picking the color of the carpet.
Yeah.
They don't know what is even in the curriculum, you know, the textbook, or now that everything's on the computer, let alone what is in the library. And
right.
Honestly, how would you know what was the content of the books in the library? The question is, why are the publishers doing this? Why are we not going after the publishers? You know, obscenity is not protected, especially for children.
Exactly. And I have wondered if it's a profit motive. I think it is to some extent, although some of these books, they're, you know, you've got a copy and a couple copies in your libraries. And then so that the volume, you're right. It's got to be something other than the volume of sales. There's an ideology,
yes,
with these publishers. And then parents have not been diligent about oversight. And so they've gotten away with this for years. For the last 20 years, it's become increasingly explicit and X-rated, and many other, as you said, indoctrination issues that people, if they read the book, they would go, what? This is nonsense. So then of course, then we have the American Library Association. Tell us about their involvement in promoting and protecting through Banned Books Week and all that, the whole distribution of this obscenity to children.
Okay, well, let's start with Long Boy that we were talking about. This was not a book ever written for children. This was an adult book that the American Library Association slapped an Alex Award label on it. I believe it was 2019. I might have the date wrong. But anyway, they gave it an Alex Award, and that makes it something that children 12 to 18 will appreciate.
Okay,
so I doubt it would have seen the light of day. I mean, not that they don't have adult books in school libraries, but this is how it became more commonplace, is because they gave it that Alex Award. And I also want to say that that book was mild compared to many, 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 many children's books, the ones that are actually published for children.
Yeah, you noticed that, noted that on your website. By the way, people should go to your website. It's whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com. And you have a blog there. You write articles, and the articles are wonderful, as well as your book. People should order your book. But yeah, you've written a lot about these issues. So tell us, let's just go back though a second. Banned Books Week. We only have a couple minutes before we're going to have a break here. Describe what a manipulative strategy the idea of the Banned Books Week is by the American Library Association.
Well, basically, you complain about a book that would have died a quick death on its own, because it's not like most of these are very well written, okay? But as soon as you complain about it, it's considered a challenged or a banned book, and you end up on every display across the nation at every library, and they'll have displays, you know, read a banned book or whatever. You have whole lists of banned books, and kids decide, okay, that's my go-to list. That's even woven into the storyline in book after book after book. So the kids gravitate towards those. But a lot of times when they are trying to sway people like us, they'll show books that, quite honestly, you would never object to. And I don't know how much time we have, but in our local library a couple of years ago, they had the mayor come and sit in the window to read a banned book, and he was going to read a Dr. Seuss one. But they were all checked out, so he just picked up another one and read it. And in our local newspaper, you had a picture of him reading a book that wasn't even banned.
Oh, gee.
And nobody corrected it.
Right. Yeah. They're making victims out of these books, and they become symbols of martyrdom. But the books themselves, the kinds of, in certainly in recent years, the material in these books, which you have lots and lots of, well, your book is full of all kinds of information about literature and the reading levels of our kids, but you have lots of information about some of the more recent books. It is horrible. It's horrifying. And, you know, it goes from explicit homosexual and heterosexual sex. Lawn Boy had explicit homosexual sex among 2 fourth grade boys. And then you've got drugs, you've got parental issues, you've got prostitution in, yeah, among teens. You have laid all this out in an incredibly tasteful and thorough and very professional way. And I urge people to go to your website, whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com. And we're talking with Debbie DeGroff, by the way, folks, if you're just listening and tuning into our program, who is an expert, and she's written a wonderful book called Between the Covers, What's Inside a Children's Book. So go to visit her website, order her book, but also tune back in here. We will return, discuss more about the book banning issue and obscenity in so many of our books when we return here on Mission America Radio. We will come back shortly after this, the break, and stay tuned. This is Linda Harvey. Don't go away.
Today's program is pre-recorded. To learn more, log on to missionamerica.com. Now, here's Linda.
Talking today about obscenity in children's books and agendas of all kinds, things that you would never imagine would be inside children's books. And our guest is Debbie DeGroff, who has a book called Between the Covers, What's Inside a Children's Book, and a great blog and website at whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com. And Debbie, you know, we talked about this recent controversy over Lawn Boy, and you made the very important point that it's an adult book, but because the American Library Association gave it a youth award or a youth-oriented award, it shows up in school libraries. And it's gross and outrageous about homosexual sex and very explicit, but it's not at all rare. This is very common. 10 years ago, I sat and read a whole stack of books, and I was throwing things by the end of the book. It's total trash, and complete trash your children are being exposed to. What is the motivation for this? I mean, what is it to get reluctant readers to read? You said enticement. Just give us a little more information about what you think is going on there.
Well, they entice, but it's been such a process. Okay, think about what has happened as a result. You have to look at the end result. We don't have, our families are destroyed. You have a majority of people that want socialism and or full-blown communism. They hate America. They hate capitalism. You know, you look at everything that has changed in America, and it happened somehow. Now, it's not just books, of course. I never pretend that. You know, you have curricula. Yeah. You have, you know, all kinds of things, music, games, everything. But they are deliberately changing the kids. It had to happen gradually. And so, you know, the first thing, dads are idiots in books. They've been idiots for decades in books. And then think about how that was depicted in TV shows and in sitcoms. You know, since dad's always the goofy dummy. And then it was, every book had to reflect your life. So if you were a transgender, we had to have books about transgenders. But then that wasn't good enough. You could only have an authentic voice. So if you were writing about a transgender, you had to be a transgender. You know, and if you were writing a book about a one-legged transgender, then you have to be a one-legged transgender. I mean, that's just how it goes. And so that everybody can identify, so that they can find some authentic voice that they can identify with, or you're never going to survive, you know, to adulthood. You know, I'm sorry. But, you know, Leo Holman, he had written an article about their coming for their for your children in May. And I want to read his quote. He said, if they manage to survive these attacks on their personhood, children are not likely to make it to their 18th birthday without completely losing their ability to think for themselves. Schools use your tax dollars and a heaping dose of critical race theory to indoctrinate children to hate their country, hate their history, and if they're Caucasian, to hate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
I just think that's very fitting for right now, because that is exactly what had happened. But it had to happen slowly, and it did.
Well, and I have been watching this for 20 years, and I'll tell you, I was really one of the people, there were quite a few of us, but who objected to the Harry Potter series because of what I saw. It wasn't the witchcraft and all that was awful. I mean, yeah, that was in there, but it was a public relations tract for neo-pagan religions and a dumbing down of any valid assessment of that. And also it was a slam against Christianity and traditional values. There's been a whole generation now that are now young adults who were raised on Harry Potter. I think that had an enormous impact because of the books were so unique and different and so outrageous in some ways, but also cleverly written. So that's just one example. I'm going to move on here, though. What about parents showing up at board meetings now, as you were mentioning earlier? Now we have Merrick Garland, the U.S. Attorney General, who's told the FBI that they should investigate parents that get too rowdy at these meetings, apparently, or in any bona fide threats, which of course could be handled by the local police departments. But no, we got to get the FBI involved. And the really interesting thing, Debbie, the latest news, you may have heard this, is that Merrick Garland's daughter is married to a guy who has an investment in a company called Panorama that sells social emotional learning, which is tied into how they're pitching critical race theory in schools and getting it inserted into the curriculum. What are we going to do if we are all now terrorists? What did you say, Debbie?
Well, I think everybody should pull their kids out. I mean, why, if this was your philosophy, all of these books, which would make you shudder if I could sit here and just rip off what's in these books, and that was your belief system and your perspective that was great, why would I turn my children over to you? That's number one. Number two, the social-emotional learning actually had a lot of backlash until COVID. And they use that, you know, you never let an opportunity go to waste. They use that to say, oh, the kids have such fear, which they created, okay, and you know, such trauma over all of this and how the couple of years have gone, that now we have to implement all this social-emotional learning to save their life. We have the answer. And so that's what they're doing. And so now you don't even have anybody, well, I mean, you do, you know, on our side, but you don't have a lot of people objecting to the social-emotional learning because they believe with all their heart that too will save their little kitties.
Right. And it's psychological manipulation. Social-emotional learning is the platform through which all these special interest left-wing agendas are being sold to children as psychology for the quote-unquote whole child. Debbie, quickly, give us your website and tell us about your book quickly, 30 seconds.
Okay, the website is whatsinsidechildrensbooks.com, no apostrophes or anything. And the book is where I just try to show the different aspects of children's literature that you might not have been aware of before, so that parents can make wiser decisions about their children's reading. I'm no one's guru. I don't make good lists and bad lists and tell you which ones you can read and which ones you can't. I just want the parents to be involved to know what's actually in a book. And sometimes there's a pretty good book, but there might be something that is totally opposed to your worldview in there.
And you need to know it. Yep.
Yes. Give you a good opportunity to talk to your children about it.
Okay. It's Between the Covers, What's Inside a Children's Book. Thank you. God bless you, Debbie. And we will have you back on Mission America again soon. Parents, your children are in the public schools, make sure you are reading, checking out everything they're reading. keep on top of this and let's keep going and be very, very determined, because with God, as you know, all things are still possible. Have a great day.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.